We continue our discussion with regards to Jakim, the halal, the Department of Islamic Development in Malaysia, delisting the Muslim Judicial Council Halal Trust. Now, joining us on the line from Malaysia is Maulana Muhammad Said Navlaki, who is the Theological Director of Sanha. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakumullah khair for your time this morning on the program. Mulana, can you perhaps at the outset outline to us who is Jakim and what is their international standing?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Jakim is the acronym for the Jabatan Kemajuan Islam Malaysia. They're the Islamic Affairs Department of Malaysia. It's a government organ. It's, it has its own ministry in the Malaysian government. And it's directly linked to the Prime Minister's department. So they're accountable to the Prime Minister. And they have the Islamic Affairs Division amongst all the other Islamic affairs of Waqf and Zakat and other Islamic administrative issues, education, etc. They also have the Halal Division, which monitors halal food in Malaysia and regulates halal certification, etc. in this country.
What sort of relationship does Sanha have with Jakim?
Our relationship with Jakim is just the same like any other Muslim organization rendering the service in any other part of the world that is recognized by Jakim. So over the years, Sanha has been recognized from inception. In fact, prior to Sanha, the Jamiatul Ulama, the Muslim Judicial Council, the Jamiatul Ulama Sajid al-Mikal, these were the three organizations prior to Sanha that were listed by Jakim, and pushed the establishment of Sanha and the cessation of halal certification services by the two Jamiyats to Sanha. Sanha was then automatically listed by Jakim.
Amora, what are your thoughts about the standards Jakim implements?
Jakim is, for the record, the only Muslim government in the world that has for almost three decades now enforced, halal regulation in this country at a very, very formal level, and are very serious about what comes into the country as halal, what is labeled as halal. There's huge penalties and fines for people that fraudulently make halal claims. They are the only authority in this country that can issue certification or that can endorse the certification of any other foreign halal certification body.
One particular standard in this regard is that Jakim demands or requires that four vessels be severed while the slaughter is taking place. What are your thoughts on that requirement, and what is Sanha's standpoint in that regard?
Look, the standard obviously always aspires to the highest level so that it encompasses all groups, etc. And I don't think there's any organization in the world whose standard would say, it's fine if you cut any lesser than four. Although the Sharia, the fiqh, jurisprudential part of the various madahib make provision for some for two and some for three. But even those madahib, Malaysia is predominantly, not predominantly, are a Shafi'i school of thought country, and yet their standard does emphasize the severing of four vessels.
Was Sanha audited recently by Jakim?
Yes, we too were audited. In fact, Jakim, for the first time in the history of Sanha, and this is our 20th year, first time in the history of Sanha, did Jakim send somebody out? In fact, not only Jakim, but also other governments like in Singapore, etc., who have a halal regulatory monitoring service. They've also initiated going out and actually doing an audit of organizations that they endorse and approve for export of product into their countries. So whilst Jakim did visit South Africa several times in the past, it was just a cursory visit to the office and a chat over a cup of tea, etc. But an audit per se was never conducted. This was the first time that SANHA was exposed to an audit formally, where they came and spent a week with us and visited all three of our offices in the country and plants that we audit. They actually seen how we do audits, looked at our systems, how we monitor, what record keeping we have. So it was an audit for the first time, yes.
I understand from that it may have been a formal audit, a formal visit. How useful are these formal visits in the sense that even if you're not implementing certain standards that you know is required by Jakim for that duration, you may implement that?
Look, this can be done. I mean, but an auditor, they don't just look at things superficially. They ask relevant questions. They don't stand and just accept whatever you present to them. They would look at your systems, spanning that period of time. They would ask you questions relating to that particular product. They would have verification on site. When they go to those specific plants, they would interview people or supervisors, etc., that you have appointed there. It's not impossible, you are able to pull wool over the auditor's eye, but it just depends on the expertise, the experience, and the foresight and insight that the auditor has. That it's not as simple as just to rush over the audit process.
And did they find any problems with SANHA's systems?
Alhamdulillah, we had a successful audit. We had actually recommendations that were made, but in terms of the audit itself, there wasn't any shortcomings per se which could result in our failing the audit.
While SANHA is a fellow halal certifying body alongside the MJC Halal Trust, in your capacity as the theological director of SANHA and also an alim and a leader of the Muslim community, looking at the interests of the Muslim community, considering what has transpired in terms of one of the South African certifying bodies being delisted and the serious findings that have been made with regards to protocol, with regards to certain standards not being met, and certain procedures, the laxity in that regard. What are your thoughts and comments at this time, Mulana?
I think my comments are what my comments have been over the last period of two decades. We are all established for a common purpose, and that purpose is to serve the Ummah and to ensure that what our people eat, not only our certification, unlike other countries, it's unique. Other organizations in many parts of the world certify, we export. They only certify what goes to the Middle East and to Malaysia and to Asia, etc. So Africa is very unique in that our primary purpose of certification is not export. We certify halal and provide the service so that our community can eat halal food, so that our community has access to halal food and guaranteed halal food. Going back historically and just to refresh the memory of our listeners, SANHA was established 20 years ago. And the reason that SANHA was established is because of a whole host of inconsistencies and inadequacies that existed at the time. And we felt that now in the new South Africa, we're exposed further, where municipal auditors were shut down and the meeting industry was deregulated. sanctions were lifted and products were coming in and pouring into our country from all over, and it was impossible to continue in the very localized manner that we were at the time, and we felt we need to hold hands and establish a national organ that will be able to render a service, a holistic service, nationally to our community in South Africa. Yes, a percentage of the product is exported, but that is just a bonus. You know, our primary objective of certification is not to issue certificates for export. Primary objective is for us and our communities to interlock. So from that inception, we tried to get all the parties on board. And in 1996, when the organization was launched, we only had SAMHA. Every other organization merged into SAMHA, and we only had then the NBC that were a bit reluctant at the time and felt that if we just give us some time, we'll wait and see how the organization develops before we consider merging. But it never happened, regrettably, and when as state saw it, we had one organization leaving 12 months later, the Islamic Council, Ipsalet. And then the British Association, then the Independent Halal Trust left us some 5 years later. And then we had a few new births along the way. We had Shura embarking on a certification, and also a new organization, Hafsa, being created in Durban, which also embarked on certification. So yes, we're now another 4 or 5, that's the 4 or 5 again. But our team to all the organizations is that if we can't be on one platform, under one umbrella, under one roof, let us at least hold hands and move this path together so that the Muslim community's interests can be secured. And it is for this reason that from time to time, we stretched out our hands of support, especially to the NBC, because really, SAMHA being formally based on the ulama base, the ulama council are the supreme organ of the organization. We felt the NBC, and still feel that the NBC being an ulama body, we should try and we have common ground, we have common vision, we have common interests, all supposed to have. And that we should try and work together. So it's various occasions to start our hand to support, having a call signed with them, tried our best, even under the auspices of Oxford, to iron out the crucial in the processes. And yes, last but not the least, with the Lion Debate, we once again started to actually work together. Really, there is a need. We can do so much more, we can help the community so much more, we can secure and preserve the integrity of Halal so much more if we hold hands. Because the consumer that we both have, or the vision and focus and core purpose of our service is common. And again, I say that, this is another opportunity that Allah has made available to us to realize that we definitely need to work together and
yes.
Definitely need to coordinate and cooperate so that we can secure the service for all the generations.
Absolutely. Maulana, jazakumullah khair for coming on the program. We wish you well for the remaining part of your safar in Malaysia. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Maulana Muhammad Said Navlaki speaking to us from Malaysia. They're currently in Malaysia, and the discussion has been about Jakim, who is based in Malaysia, part of the government of Malaysia. To end of the program, I'd like to just remind you of that hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about a person who undertakes a long journey and his hair is disheveled, he's covered in dust, and he lifts his hands to the skies and he says, ya Rabb, وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامُ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Whilst his food is haram, his drink is haram, he's wearing clothing that has been obtained from a haram source, he's nourished his body with haram, how can his du'as be accepted? How can his du'as be accepted? And that is the message, that we need to really be circumspect as to what we eat and who we trust. That's where we end the program for this morning. Jazakumullah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.